Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the best-selling author Jane Healy, and she is out with her brand new novel. This one is called Good Night from Paris. It is available everywhere and takes us to 1939 in Paris. That's wartime. Wasn't wartime yet in the United States, per se, but it certainly was wartime in Europe. And Jane, just setting this book up for us, it's one of these stories, it's just another story that's come out about World War II, about one of these little nuggets that nobody seems to know about until now. Can you explain who Drew Layton was at the time for Americans and what her significance was at the time of 1939?
Yeah, so Drew Layton, thank you again for having me. Drew Layton was an actress in Hollywood, actually, in the 1930s. She was a rising star and was really most known for her movie, the Charlie Chan movies. She was a star of four of the Charlie Chan movies. And then she left it all behind to marry the love of her life, Jacques Cartier, in 1938. And in 1939, they moved to Paris, and he went off to war. And she ended up trying to figure out what to do while he was away at war, because there wasn't a lot of acting jobs for her in France, and she took a radio job broadcasting at night to America as essentially the first voice of America in Europe, broadcasting what was really happening on the continent. You know, America wasn't involved in the war yet, and she became so good at her job and telling the truth of what was happening there that the Nazis put a bounty on her head. On German radio, they said, when we occupy France, Drew Layton will be executed. So that was one of the first compelling things about her story. And then the more I dug in, the more I was fascinated with her. She kept broadcasting despite the threats against her life. France was occupied, and she got involved in the resistance. She was arrested after Pearl Harbor with a number of other American women and imprisoned in a zoo outside Paris. And that was the first story. That was the first nugget that I had read about. These several hundred American women after Pearl Harbor were arrested and put in a zoo outside Paris, including Drew Layton and some other prominent Americans like Sylvia Beach, who owned the iconic bookstore Shakespeare and Company in Paris. And I couldn't believe I hadn't heard of these women in a zoo. So that was the first nugget. And then from there, her life gets crazier. She is able to get out of prison and becomes involved in the resistance efforts, basically an underground network, getting Allied flyers, British, American, and Canadian flyers who landed in occupied territories out of the country safely.
How big of a star would she, is there anybody comparable to her today in the United States that you could show how popular she was at the time?
You know, it's funny. I was working on my presentation for this last night because I'm talking to a number of libraries, and she, I think she was just on the cusp of larger stardom. They compared her to the next Greta Garbo, and so she was like a star on the rise. I'm trying to think of maybe like Dakota Fanning, Elle Fanning. You know, she was young and she was coming up in Hollywood. I think she would have been really huge. But then she left it behind for love. The war was happening. She did some work on Broadway and then ended up doing some work in the West End in London, and where she fell in love with Jacques.
Would her work on the radio, would that be considered propaganda, or was it something more than that?
It was more than that. It was really, what was really happening in Europe at the time. The average American didn't really understand, and she saw what was happening on the ground, and she knew that it was kind of inevitable that America would end up pulled into the war, and she wanted to communicate the horrors that were happening on the continent, what the French were going through, what other countries were going through, and because, you know, you remember, too, this was post-World War I. America in the 30s was very isolationist. The politics, no one wanted to get involved in another world war, and most Americans didn't really understand, you know, Hitler's rise and what was happening in Germany, what was happening to the other European countries. So she really, but with interviews with journalists like there was a journalist, Dorothy Thompson, another woman that I didn't really know about in history. She was iconic. She was an American international journalist, one of the first to interview Hitler in the 30s. And so Drew would have her on the show. She would have other people on this radio show and interview them so that they could really articulate what was happening on the continent of Europe.
When Americans, you know, radio was the big thing at the time for Americans, and so you've got this broadcast coming from France, and what would be the incentive for Americans to listen to an American actress other than the fact that who she was? Because there were so many other radio entertainment options at the time. What made anybody think that Americans would listen to these broadcasts?
You know, I think it was really it was backed by the French government. It was called Radio Mondiale. And it was really their idea to try to convince Americans not to necessarily get involved in the war, but just to understand the perspective of the French as they were going through this. They saw Drew as a name, as a brand that they could, you know, capitalize on because she was known in America already. So she would broadcast during the hours that were, you know, she'd actually work all night because it was better broadcasting in America. The timing was better. And really she developed a following. She started getting fan letters and notes from Americans all over the country who were really interested in what was going on. She did her job really well. And that's why the Nazis wanted to execute her.
I'm chatting with Jane Healy about her brand new novel, Good Night from Paris. It is historical fiction. It's available everywhere. Jane, something else that intrigued me is the relationship between Drew Layton and her housekeeper. And can you explain what the extent of that relationship was? Because it was sort of something that kept both of them going.
Yes. So I love that relationship. Her name was Nadine, the housekeeper. I learned about her from Drew's. Drew wrote a very small autobiography that's out of print now in 1946 after the war that I found on eBay. And Nadine is prominent in the book because she was prominent in Drew's life. And I think, one of the themes of the novel is found family. Drew was cut off from her family in the U.S. They didn't even know if she was alive or dead. So Nadine became like a sister to her. They became very close along with other friends in and around Paris. And it was a very sweet and supportive relationship. They lived in Paris together, then they lived in the countryside at a village called Barbizon together and really supported each other.
We know from having read of what wartime was like in the United States for people, a little belt tightening, rationing, those types of things. And there's a scene right at the beginning of the book where, as the narrator, Drew, mentions that she didn't quite understand that it was wartime yet. What did wartime look in Paris compared to what it eventually looked like in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, because we're separated by an ocean, it was very different. And at first in Paris, things were okay before the occupation. It was more like rationing, belt tightening. But then, of course, refugees started pouring in from other countries. It was clear that things were not going in the right direction. The countryside around Paris started getting bombed, and things changed very, very quickly. And then, of course, Paris fell in June 1940, and it was chaos. They were able to save the city because France capitulated to Germany and said, you know, don't bomb Paris, don't bomb our beautiful buildings. But it was a brutal time, particularly in the city of Paris. That's one of the reasons Drew ended up in the countryside, because food became so, so scarce. And so when she moved to the countryside, she actually leased a farm to grow vegetables. She wasn't a farmer, but she figured it out. Grow vegetables, have chickens, and then she was often bringing food into the city for her friends in the city who were essentially starving.
Well, that's an amazing story. We've only scratched the surface of it, and the way you've dramatized it is so well done. The book is Good Night from Paris. It's a brand-new novel from Jane Healy. It is available everywhere. Jane, a fantastic story, and I thank you for bringing it to light for us and sharing some stories about it today.
Thank you so, so much for having me, Brian, and for all your thoughtful questions. I appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.